Speaking of good men, Jared Ruffy is one of those, and he's got a new book out called Ruffy at the moment. You can check it out. All good bookstores and some of the rubbish ones as well. Check it online, and they'll get it to your door sooner rather than later. And it's a story to tell, and he joins us, the champ from the Hawks. Good morning, Ruff.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you with us. Now, I go through all that, and that's pretty impressive from a football sense, but these days, you're also an author. You've got the new book out, Ruffy, the autobiography. I want to ask you, what's it like writing a book about your life?
Yeah, initially, I was pretty scared, I guess, because I'm not one that really enjoys talking about myself too much, but I guess with this one, it's a little bit of a different type of footy book. It's not just your kicks, marks, handballs. There's a little bit of story there with what happened with my health a few years ago, and hopefully something that the kids will enjoy when they grow up.
Were you always keen to tell the story and put it in this sort of form when you were ready for it, and when you finished playing, or was it something that somebody sort of suggested and it took a bit of while to get your head around?
It took a little bit of convincing, just because I've kind of not moved on, but I've definitely left that little bit of my life behind now, because I'm, now a dad of two and moving forward in life. But at the same time, I guess it is a good story to tell in regards to, clinical trials and not being scared to try them, and giving some hope to cancer sufferers out there.
Yeah, well, it's a great message and a really great story, obviously, with the way things have gone on. Was it a bit of therapy for you? Was it an element of therapy, getting it all out there and putting it to paper?
Yes and no. I've been pretty open with when people ask questions or want to know some information around it. I guess it's just now on paper that everyone can see it. And, if people need to reach out, they can. I've, spoken to a lot of people in regards to advice and what to expect when going through the treatment. So I guess now, pardon the pun, it's a bit of an open book.
Oh, well done. I like that one, Ruffy. So when you were reflecting on your career, obviously that was a massive part of it. What was it like remembering all those times and the experiences that you've had across your career?
Oh, for me, it was great. Some of the photos that you pick out and some of the stories you relive. I've been very, very lucky to be a part of a great footy club and obviously had some success. So when you're reliving moments like that, they're obviously good times. So I had no trouble talking about the good times and some of the bad times as well. I mean, you and I both have a connection as well, Sherelle, with our Achilles, and I reached out when I did mine, so there's all little stories in there as well.
Yeah, we did. Unfortunately, we've both joined the ruptured Achilles club back in 2011, and I vividly remember you doing that because I think I was still probably in my moon boot at the time, and when I saw you make that movement on the field, I was like, oh, no, I know what that is. But you did. You reached out. We had a couple of catch-ups. And I guess, obviously your experience with the cancer was a huge thing. But in terms of your athletic career, snapping an Achilles is a really tough thing to get through. And I'm always amazed at how many people have done it, actually. But what was your mental process going through those different tough times that you experienced? How were you able to remain positive and keep moving forward?
Well, I think once I was given a timeline or a date of when you could possibly come back or how long you're going to be out for, you put that to the back of the mind and it's like, righto, well, we can attack the rehab and what needs to happen over this next, whatever time for the Achilles. It ended up being 9 months because unfortunately mine got infected as well and I had to start again. But once I was given a timeline from doctors, it was just attack it from there. So there was no point worrying about what could happen or what, what had led to that, to the incident happening. But as long as I stayed positive and attacked rehab as best as I could, then I was going to get back no worries at all.
There's so many questions I'd love to ask you, Ruffy, but I want to go back to draft camp before you were drafted. And I was there that time up in Canberra where it was yourself up there, Brett Delidio, Lance Franklin, Jordan Lewis, all these guys that were, it was a very strong draft. When did you think that there was a chance you were going to go as early as you did in the draft when you got to that draft camp?
Oh, probably not to the draft camp. I remember having a few interviews with teams and some were saying, oh, we're just having an interview just to see you as a person and we don't think we're going to be able to get you, but it'd be nice if we could. I remember coming home and the night before school graduation, Greg Miller, who was the GM of Richmond, had rang me and said, we're going to take you at pick 4 tomorrow, so you know, you're invited back to the president's house and we'll see you tomorrow. And, you know, I was over the moon. I was telling everyone and, you know, I thought I was going to Richmond for 24 hours, really.
Yeah. Oh, because I wanted to touch on that a little bit more because there were three clubs that had two picks each to start the draft, Hawthorn, Richmond and the Bulldogs, and we all know how it all played out. But at the time, there was talk that Lance was going to go to the Bulldogs, you were going to go to Richmond. It sort of didn't necessarily pan out the way we all thought it would. So what involvement, what discussions did you have with Hawthorn before the draft when it was all thought that you were going to go to Richmond?
Yeah, I had absolutely none. Bucky and the team at Hawthorn kept their cards close to their chest. I think even leading up to the draft over grand final week, or maybe not grand final week. Oh, no, it was around then. I think Richard Tamling was staying at Bucky's house, yeah. And they threw out a couple of smoke screens in regards to, you know, what people thought they were going to do. And then, it completely changed 5 minutes into the draft.
Yeah, it's amazing. And half Jordan Lewis was also in that draft, just outside the top six. And then it became that famous trio, I guess, Ruffy, in a lot of ways, of you, Lance and Jordan, all top 10 picks going to Hawthorn and rebuilding the club. Did you know that, did you feel early that you guys were going to be the nucleus of the next era, or did it take a while for that to kind of evolve?
No, it definitely took time. If you ask the older boys when we first got there, they were probably thinking, who are these three smart asses that are coming in and acting like they are? But, you know, I still got dropped a couple of times in my third year when I was 20. So there was no thought that, you know, we were the saviours at, you know, 17, 18 when we first got to the club. It definitely took a bit of time. But having those two boys there was great for all of us because we could bounce off each other. We were there for each other. And, you know, you even go 10, 12 years down the track and we're all involved in each other's wedding parties, which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you tell a story about Geordie was the first guy you rang when you got the news about your cancer scare. And I imagine, and you've told that story many times, and we've heard it a few times, but I still think about that and the fact that you went to the footy club and that was your place of comfort in that time. It must have been a very special place, Ruff, for you to go straight there.
Well, half you've been a part of Hawthorn, and that's all I've known. So I'm a 17-year-old kid that moves from the country. I move to Melbourne, and I'm indoctrinated in Melbourne life, and then all of a sudden, you know, this happens, and other than home, that is the safest place, the footy club. You know, you've got so many good people in that were there at the time, and, you know, would wrap your arms around you, and I really didn't have any other place to go.
And what were you expecting when you got there? What were you hoping to happen, or were you just in a bit of a haze at that time when you got there?
I think you're just going there for that support and comfort. I guess I can't go home, or I couldn't tell Sarah over the phone via text message or call. I knew I had to plan out how to tell her, and you know, going to the footy club and having all those people that, you know, make great decisions at the footy club in Clarko and Fags at the time, Jack Russell. Geordie was there, our club doctor was there. It was the right place for me to go at the time because we're all together and we could all, you know, have a cry, which we did, but also then start to plan what it was going to look like for the next little bit.
Yeah, it's such a significant thing to have happen to you, Ruffy. When you went to the club and for the next little period of time, was there a view to getting back to playing footy, or was that totally put to the side and you were just focusing on your health at that point? Where did you get to in terms of that mental process?
Well, at the time I was only a couple of weeks away from playing. I'd come off a PCL reconstruction and had done all the rehab and thought I was, you know, I was hoping to get back for Geordie's 250th, which was in Brisbane. And I was, you know, had the mindset of, right, I'm only a couple of weeks away from playing. But then when the docs say, you know, you could be on treatment for 18 months, 2 years, you initially think, well, you know, that could be 2 years of footy gone and what's going to happen for the rest of my career. I think I was still contracted for 3 or 4 years at that time. So I suppose that was the carrot dangling for me, is that if I was going to ever get back, then why not, you know, why not try and get back? There's no point trying to just give up on your footy career or what you'd known for 12 years at the time. It was, right, let's do what we have to do with treatment and getting myself right and then hopefully get back to playing footy.
I think, Ruffy, the thing that I found most fascinating reading about your thoughts was that your initial thought was, "Oh, when can I get back to play?" I mean, I'm terrified of dying. And if I got that news, my first point is about just being scared. Were you, or and have you at any point through that process been scared of dying? Or was it just all about, what do I have to do to get healthy again? Because I think there's a difference.
Yeah, I definitely didn't think that, because I think if you're having those thoughts, personally, you're already considering it and thinking, you know, you might be half the way there, three quarters of the way there. So I was 29-year-old at the time. Sarah and I had just got married. Why would I be wanting to think about the end when I've only really lived 29 years of my life? So I made a conscious effort not to look at Google. I didn't really have those thoughts pop into my head, because at the time I was feeling so healthy. So how could I be thinking of the other part when I was feeling so good before all this came about?
Yeah, and I think that's a great lesson for everybody that's listening to this about the mental approach, because I think, you know, obviously it's going to happen to everyone at one point, but to help to deal and to become more resilient as a person, I mean, you're the perfect person to speak to. And I know it sort of kind of sits uncomfortably with you a little bit about being that poster boy for these things, but everyone knows you as the four-time premiership player at Hawthorn and can kind of connect with you. So there's that kind of responsibility in a way that goes with it.
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, you don't wish for anyone to have to go through this. So if I can, you know, help out some people, whether it be asking for advice or even, as you said, just helping their attitude towards the situation, then that's a positive in itself.
You've always been a really level-headed guy, Ruff, and that's why most people love you, I imagine. Just matter of fact, a pretty run-of-the-mill sort of guy and just a natural bloke. In this time, or at that time, sorry, did people change the way that they treated you, they acted towards you or around you, considering the battle you were going with, or were they normal? Was everything normal?
I think initially the boys were a little bit hesitant, because they, until I, you know, in a sense, told them, it was a bit of the icebreaker for them. It was like, right, I'm still here, so let's not tread on eggshells and think that it's all going to be bad. I'm still going to act normal. It's just that some days I'll be feeling like crap and some days I won't be here because I've got other things going on. But while I'm here and while you're at the footy club, let's have some fun. Let's take the piss out of you if we need to. Treat you as normal as possible, because there's no point worrying about the other stuff. I'll take care of that, or friends and family will, but you boys have a job to do on the weekend and I don't want to impact that. If you guys are feeling flat going the weekend, just feeling sorry for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. And when you got the news that you were clear, and you were able to share that with, I imagine, Sarah firstly, and maybe Geordie second, then the boys, what were those moments like for you to be able to tell people that you're okay?
Oh, huge. And that comes from when Grant, my oncologist, says, "I expect you to live to be a granddad." Now that is huge in itself. Now being a father of two great kids, it's just like, right, that means more than what was 2 hours of footy a week for me. But obviously, you know, from the first time where I got up to tell the boys that it was back, and you break down, to then the excitement and the smiles on the faces of the boys when you tell them you're all clear to go, it's it's a huge relief.
And from a footy perspective, when you did come back, I mean, you came back as captain of the footy club in 2017. Was that a nice distraction, or was it a burden you probably could have done without?
Oh, looking back on it, we've spoken about this at Hawthorn Functions too, Half, that it's, you know, was it the right decision for me? And looking back on my footy career now, it's all said and done. And, you know, some will say yes and some will say no, but I got to captain the Hawthorn Footy Club. Now there's only been, I think, 40 blokes that have ever been able to do that in our existence. So to have my name up there with some of the people that have captained the footy club, albeit that I'm not a premiership captain like most of them, it's still a pretty nice feeling.
Ruffy, now you mentioned your two little ones. Life's very different now at the moment for you, coaching St Kilda as well as the assistant coach there. I think you're thinking about going up to the Queensland hub. What's life like at the moment? Is that what you're planning to do?
Yeah, so I stayed back initially from going to Queensland because we were having our second baby, and even though there's the lockdown going on, we're still getting used to a family of four and getting in a routine, which is great. But now will hopefully will be, you know, 2 weeks old, and the Queensland government and the AFL can allow us to come up, then yeah, we'll probably all head up and quarantine for the 2 weeks before getting back involved with the St Kilda program. Because otherwise, if I miss out, well, I'm probably not working or seeing these boys face to face till maybe December or next year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are you comfortable finished as a player, Ruff? I mean, you're obviously still in the system with St Kilda, and I imagine when you're there and you're living it day to day as a in a different role, sometimes the juices still flow from wanting to be a player. Are you comfortable that those days are now over?
Yeah, I am, because you know, early days it was summer and you're training all right, and you're feeling all good, and you know, the kicks are coming off nicely, and then you get to these winter months, mate, and I'm very happy that I'm not having to run out there and slog it out. And I was planning on playing a couple of games with my little brother at Inverloch down near Leongatha, where we're from. And I've never got to play with Cam since for our lifetime. So to be able to play a couple of games with him would have been nice, but wasn't meant to be. So hopefully he stays fit, because they won't be picking me in the twos. I'll give you the hot tip.
Rob, and I love watching you, Ruff, taking on these new roles, seeing you in that coaching element. Obviously, all the experiences that you've had over your life in different ways shape you as a person, but I assume as a coach, is there anyone that you've kind of taken some notes from and want to replicate, or are you just trying to do it Ruffy's way?
If I'm being honest, my role, if I was to hand you a business card, my title would be Football Operations Assistant. So it's not so much... don't laugh, please. It's a bit of a broad variety, and that was what appealed to me with St Kilda, is they offered this multi-role job, in the sense that I'm able to learn the business and understand what footy admin's like, but also have still that game day representation, whether it be helping the forwards out, helping Max King at the moment, or helping the leadership group. So I'm a bit of a sounding board for a lot of these guys, because some of them, you know, we've got guys like Billings and Ross that have played nearly 7-8 years of footy but haven't played a final yet. So, you know, if you can help them understand the game and see the game in a different way to what they already know, then hopefully we can help out.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got two questions I want to ask. I know we haven't got a lot of time, but the first one, a serious one. Outside the medals, the Coleman and the Premiership medals, what are you most proud of when you look back on your life, on your career to this point?
Footy-wise? That's just pure
just in footy. General. Yeah, maybe footy, but maybe just in general. Because the book's about your life.
Being a dad now, as I said before, if I live to be 100, footy is 15% of my life. So, yes, it's a great chapter of my life and a great period, and I'll be forever grateful for being able to be a part of it. But I'm a dad now of two, and even at the time when I was going through what I was going through, we didn't even think about kids. But to now have a son and a daughter, you're over the moon with that every day.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what Half talks about. You've got such a great perspective on things. And the last question, and this is the most important one for me. Can you please explain, because you have explained this to me before, about a chocolate Freddo frog and a hot jam donut, please?
So at school, obviously winter months again, you go to the canteen, and what's a great snack to have? A hot jam donut, and you grab a Freddo frog, either it be white chocolate or milk chocolate, and you stick it right in the middle for a minute or two, and then have a crack at that and tell me that that's not nice.
I am going to
It's the greatest
that.
Thing of all time.
I am definitely
It is the greatest
that.
Thing of all time.
That's going to be breakfast for the next week for me. That sounds like a hell of an idea.
And just
that is the way.
Flavors of chocolate too, half. As I said, white chocolate. Throw a peppermint choc frog in there. I'll just open up a new can for you.
Yeah. Oh, well, that sort of stuff doesn't need to be opened, but I'm prepared to open it just for you, Ruff, the way I'm looking at the moment.
I'm looking forward to reading.
Yeah, we're trying to close that camp, but it's going to be back open again. Bugger it. That sounds good. The new book, Ruffy, the autobiography for Jared Ruffy. You're a great human, Ruff. You're a success story in just about everything you've done, and it's great to be able to have a chat to you about that today. Good luck to you and the family, to Sarah and the kids, and we'll look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Anytime, Ruff. Great to have you on our program.